two big things happening today in our community. First of all, the new Wegmans in Chapel Hill officially opens at 9 a.m. We'll get an update at the scene from our own Dakota Moyer coming up next hour. And today is also the day that K-12 teachers and staff become eligible for the COVID vaccine. That development comes as students in Orange County schools begin orientation this week ahead of their imminent return to the classroom. Dr. Kathleen Dawson is the deputy superintendent for Orange County Schools. She recently shared her thoughts about in-person learning and the vaccine with 97.9 The Hill.
We are very excited to have our students back in person. Of course, those who are opting to continue school and plan B with the mix of in-person and remote learning. And, you know, Orange County Schools, under the direction of our superintendent, Dr. Felder, and the board, we've been very proactive, right, in following what the science says about what is safe for our students and staff in being back into school. And then when we had heard about the Senate Bill 37, knowing that that was very likely to pass, at least some version of that, we wanted to make sure that we were ready. And so, you know, school teams, they've been great at making quick pivots to make sure that we are making quick transitions to be ready for our students. And we know that, you know, the most important instruction comes from in-person instruction from our teachers. You know, it's not always acknowledged, but our school staff, they have been, and we are essential staff that have been, you know, going since last March and never stopped. And so to be acknowledged and to be able to give an access, it's pivotal for us to feel safe as we have our staff come back. And our staff have never complained about having to, you know, work through all of this and coming back, but they have asked always to please, you know, show care for their lives by giving us access to the vaccinations. And now that we have it, they are more than excited, and we are trying to, you know, make sure that we put together a most efficient process in getting our staff vaccinated as quickly as possible.
That's Dr. Kathleen Dawson speaking there. You get our full conversation on our website, chapelboro.com. Just scroll down to News on the Hill for that. Schools have been closed for nearly a year, and that's had a wide variety of impacts, not just on people, but also, as it turns out, on pipes. During recent water tests, Chapel Hill Carborough City school officials say they detected levels of copper and lead in a hand-washing sink in a classroom at Ephesus Elementary School. Wausau officials say that's likely due to stagnant water in the pipes that's been sitting there for a year. The water is still safe for hand washing, and the schools are already planning to use bottled water for drinking. The return to the classroom comes as COVID-19 numbers continue to drop across the state. Governor Roy Cooper is also considering easing some other restrictions that have been in place for months. Governor Cooper will hold his weekly COVID media briefing at 2 o'clock today, and WRAL reports a new executive order could allow for higher attendance at sporting events, indoor seating in bars, and later sales of alcohol. None of that's confirmed, though. We'll find out at 2. Other news, multiple outlets reporting sad news. Police in Raleigh investigating the death of a Chapel Hill firefighter, 48-year-old Larry Donnell Morrissey. Donnie Morrissey was found dead in his Raleigh home yesterday around noon. Police are treating it as a homicide, and overnight, WRAL reported the investigation led officers to a home in Wendell where two more people were found dead. Condolences to Donnie Morrissey's friends and family. I know he has many in the Chapel Hill Fire Department. WRAL also reporting the USA Gymnastics program has suspended a Chapel Hill man from its ranks after his arrest last week on charges of child sexual abuse. Stephen Maness owns Bull City Gymnastics in Durham. He was arrested last Tuesday after three individuals came forward with charges of abuse dating back as far as 2012. Court documents do not indicate whether the alleged incidents happened at the gym. Maness had his first court appearance on Monday. Back in Raleigh, the director of the State Board of Elections is asking lawmakers to push the November 2021 local elections back a few months to May of 2022. Karen Brinson Bell is also urging lawmakers to move next year's March primary to May as well. This is not to do with COVID-19, at least not directly, but rather with the census. The U.S. Census Bureau recently announced that they won't be releasing their final count until the fall. Bell says that won't give lawmakers enough time to draw new legislative district maps on the current election schedule. Speaking of elections, Election Day was yesterday on the UNC campus, where students voted for next year's student body president. With more than 3,200 votes cast, the DTH reports Lamar Richards was elected with nearly 60% of the vote. And staying on campus, researchers have spent months studying a variety of possible ways to fight back against COVID-19, from developing vaccines to identifying new treatments for patients. Now scholars at the Adams School of Dentistry are studying the possible impact of mouthwash. 97.9 The Hill's Al Karras explains.
While laboratory experiments have shown that mouthwash can quickly kill coronaviruses, there's currently no data that indicates that mouthwash can prevent the virus from infecting people. Researchers at UNC's Adams School of Dentistry are looking to change that.
There has been work done on SARS-CoV-2 that showed that, you know, in a test tube, these mouth rinses are able to inactivate the virus. But there has been a lack of human studies to see whether or not it works in people who are using it in day-to-day circumstances.
That was Laura Jaycox, the principal investigator of the study and the director of the orthodontic research program at the Adams School of Dentistry. Jaycox said the focus of this research is to find a way to lower the risk of coronavirus transmission in situations where masking and being more than 6 feet apart might not be an option. For instance, during dental procedures. The clinical trial will test over-the-counter mouthwashes that contain common antiseptic ingredients.
So all of the mouth rinses we're testing in this study are FDA-approved, commercially available mouth rinses like, you know, hydrogen peroxide-based products, ethanol-based products, povidone iodine-based products. So things that are safe, that are widely used, so that if one of them is effective at reducing salivary infectivity, it could be rapidly and easily disseminated so that people could just start using it in their day-to-day life without going for months waiting for FDA approval process.
Jaycox and her team at the dental school plan to measure how much virus is found in saliva before and after using mouthwash, according to the directions on the label. Because the mouth continually makes saliva, samples will be collected by the trial participants and tested every 15 minutes for up to an hour to track how long any reduction in viral load lasts.
We're hoping that it works for at least 15 or 30 minutes because that would help not only in a dental setting, but in many other settings. If you need to give a talk at work, if you want to have drinks with friends, having everybody rinse prior to things that generate aerosols like talking or singing could help to reduce the risk in those settings too.
Jaycox said many of these over-the-counter mouthwashes already proved to be effective in initial laboratory testing prior to these clinical trials.
And so we are optimistic that at least one, if not more than one, will have some effect both on reducing viral replication and on reducing viral infectivity, which is the ability of the virus to actually infect cells.
Adults between the ages of 18 and 65 who have tested positive for COVID-19 within the past 7 days are eligible to participate in the trial. Jaycox said they are hoping to enroll 300 people and release early study results in the late spring or early summer of this year. For more information on these clinical trials or to learn how to personally enroll, visit chapelboro.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Al Karras.
And the UNC System Board of Governors met earlier this month to finalize tuition and fees for next year. No change for in-state tuition, but as Carolina Connections' Aurora Charlo reports, some other costs are rising.
The Board of Governors has voted to keep a tuition freeze in place for in-state students of the UNC system. System President Peter Hans made a statement at Thursday's meeting to celebrate the decision.
This marks the fifth consecutive year that the University of North Carolina has held tuition flat for in-state students, halting a decades-long trend of ever-rising prices. I don't know a state in this country that could match that record. We've made some hard choices in order to keep tuition in check, but I believe it's been worth it.
However, that's not the full story. The Board of Governors also approved increases in the student health fee across the system in response to COVID-19, which range from an increase of $10 at UNC Chapel Hill to $80 at UNC Charlotte. Likewise, for much of the UNC system, including UNC Chapel Hill, the campus security fee has doubled from $30 to $60 in order to promote recruitment and retention of college police. Board of Governors member Jim Holmes defended the move.
It's never popular to increase a fee. I personally believe we should always do our best, like all of you, to keep them as low as possible. But in this case, we have a need and we need to address it.
More severe than the student fee increases is rising tuition for out-of-state students who are not included in the board's tuition freeze. Out-of-state undergraduates at UNC Chapel Hill can expect to pay almost $700 more per semester, while for graduate students, tuition will rise by $566 regardless of program. Third-year law student Ryan Collins is the president for the Graduate and Professional Student Federation and also serves on the Tuition and Fees Advisory Task Force. He's concerned that leaving non-resident students out of the tuition freeze will hurt the diversity of the system.
When you make education here more expensive, it definitely changes people's incentives to want to come here. In my experience, some on the current Board of Governors would be perfectly fine with continuing to focus on charging more to out-of-state students. And I think a lot of that has to just sort of do with a misperception of the value of out-of-state students to our institution. They bring in different points of view. They attract new people to the state.
Collins says that he hopes that UNC's comparatively low cost of attendance will continue to attract out-of-state students, but that the trend concerns him. I'm Aurora Charlo reporting.
And finally, sad news in the literary world, where a giant has passed away. Publisher and poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, who championed the Beat movement from his famed City Lights bookstore, passed away on Monday at the age of 101. He's most commonly associated with the city of San Francisco, but he got his journalism degree at UNC, graduating back in 1941. It's time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Franklin Street Realty. More individual honors for Tar Heel athletes, starting in women's lacrosse, where Scotty Rose Grounde won ACC Offensive Player of the Week, and fellow Tar Heel Emma Trenchard was named Defensive Player of the Week. In softball, star senior Brittany Pickett was named ACC Pitcher of the Week for the ninth time in her career. She got three wins over the weekend, allowing just two runs in 21 innings and striking out 30 batters. Future Tar Heels also got individual honors. High school basketball stars Destiny Adams, Tiani Key, and Kayla McPherson were named McDonald's All-Americans. All three are set to join the UNC women's basketball program this fall. And a good recruiting class, UNC one of only four programs nationally to have three or more McDonald's All-Americans this year, along with UConn, South Carolina, and Texas. UNC baseball got a 4-1 win over Elon yesterday. They're now 4-0 on the season. They're back in action tomorrow, game one of a three-game set against Virginia. And UNC basketball is in action tonight, hosting Marquette in a midweek non-conference game. Tip-off 7 p.m. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 5:30 with countdown to tip-off. Finally, the UNC football program has unveiled the jersey numbers for the 13 newcomers who joined the team in January. You can get the full list on our website, chapelboro.com.